Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's first quarter 2017 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded May 25th, 2017. With us online today is Mr. Omer Ziv, CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respected company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation which is available on the bank's website, www.bankloumi.com, will be used during this conference call. I would now like to hand the call over to Ms. Daphna Golden, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Golden, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call for Bank Leumi's financial statements for Q1 2017. Omer Ziv, CFO, will be presenting the major takeouts from the financial statements. We are joined today by our colleagues, Shlomo Goldfarb, Chief Accountant, Dr. Gil Buffman, Chief Economist, Guy Fisher, Deputy Head of Capital Markets, and Tamar Yasul, Head of Digital Banking. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website. In addition, you should have a link to the online presentation. I'd now like to turn the call over to Omer. Omer?
Thank you, Daphna. Good afternoon, all. I'm going to show you a short review and analysis of Leumi's first quarter 2017 results. Please turn to slide number 3. The return on equity for the period was 8.1%, much higher than the return on equity in Q1 last year. The net profit is 66% higher than the net profit in the corresponding period. In the first quarter, we had almost no effect of one-time items, and the ROE is all from our core business activity in an environment of low interest rates and negative CPI. Furthermore, the 8.1% return on equity is almost without any realized profit from investments of Leumi Partners, our investment banking arm. As you know, the profit of the bank also consists of the profit of Leumi Partners. However, the profit of Leumi Partners is not linear throughout the year. During the course of the year, I believe that the contribution of Leumi Partners on the results will be higher. In the table on the right, we see the financial income net of provision grew by 12.5% compared to the corresponding period last year. This rise is mostly due to an increase in credit, the continued focus on retail and middle market, and the increase in income for our securities portfolio. Commission revenue grew by 3%, mostly due to the higher volume of activities in securities and credit cards. Operating expenses grew by 3% due to one-time effects of collective wage agreements. Without these one-time items, core salary expenses decreased by 4.3% and the total expenses decreased by slightly more than 2%. We also see an improvement in our efficiency ratio from 74.1% in the first quarter of 2016 to 64.9% in this quarter, mainly as a result of our efficiency measures and our income growth. With respect to the tax line, in Q1 2017, the effective tax rate was 38.5% compared to 45.2% in Q1 2016. In Q1 last year, we recorded a tax expense of 122 million shekels, which was due to a decrease in the balance of net deferred taxes as a result of a decrease in the corporate tax rate. To sum up, the net profit for Q1 reached 622 million shekels. The total comprehensive income reached 908 million shekels and reached a 12% yield in the first quarter. The comprehensive income yield was affected by the increase in the risk-free long-term interest rate. As you know, over the last 3 years, the bank wrote off more than 2 billion shekels from its equity due to the increase in employee liabilities as a result of the reduction in interest rates. In Q1, we began to see a turnaround. As such, a substantial part of the difference between the net profit and the comprehensive income is due to the decrease in the liabilities as a result of the increase in interest rates. Let's turn to slide number 4. We can see a credit growth of about 11% since 2013. Since year-end, credit grew by 3 billion shekels. The growth was negatively affected by the appreciation of the shekel. If we neutralize the effect of the exchange rate, credit grew by 5 billion shekels since year-end. On slide 5, we can see the growth in most of our segments. The credit to individuals grew by 1 billion shekels. The credit to commercial middle market also grew by 1 billion shekels. In the corporate business, which declined in credit in 2016 due to the equity constraints, we see a growth of 2 billion shekels in Q1 2017. I would like to emphasize that the credit growth from year-end 2016 shows the growth of one quarter. Obviously, on an annual basis, this growth will be much higher. Moving on to slide number 6. At the end of March, deposits amounted to 342 billion shekels. We see a marked improvement in our credit to deposit ratio, which reached 77% in Q1, reflecting a clear trend of strong liquidity ratio. The pie chart on the right shows the diversity of our deposits. At the end of Q1, 56% of our deposits were in retail. Let's go on to slide number 7. Net interest income grew by 13%, which is significantly higher than Q1 last year. This growth was driven by the growth in the volume of credit and securities portfolio and was also affected by the fact that CPI in Q1 16 was minus 0.9% and minus 0.2% in this quarter. We also see a sizable increase in the net interest margin, which is across the board. Moving on to slide number 8, on the left chart, we see that the improvement in our NPL continues. The NPL ratio, which was 2.8% in 2012, decreased to 1.1% by March 2017. On the right, we see that problem debts continue to decline. Problem debts amount to 7.3 billion shekels in Q1, a decrease of 33% since 2012. Not only have the problem debts declined, but the mix of debt has also improved. In 2012, impaired debt was 55% of the total problem debt, and in Q1, it decreased to 39%. On slide number 9, we see the low rate of provisions over the years, which reflect the high quality of our credit portfolio. In the first quarter, we recorded credit loss expenses of 101 million shekels. The increase compared to last year is mainly due to the lower collection in Q1. Slide 10 shows a snapshot of our diverse commissions revenue, which increased by 3% from last year and has reached over 1 billion shekels in this quarter. When we break it down, the increase in commission revenues is mainly due to credit card and security commissions as a result of increased activity. Let's go on to slide 11. The total salary and related expenses grew by 49 million shekels compared to the corresponding period last year. But these figures were affected by one-time items related to the collective wage agreement. If we take out these one-time items, we see that our core salary expenses went down by 4.3%. The efficiency ratio improved from 74.1% to 64.9%, mainly as a result of our efficiency measures and our income growth. The continued diversion of banking transactions to direct channels, the merger of branches, and the reduced services that require a physical presence and other measures allow me to predict that the efficiency ratio will continue to improve. Moving on to slide number 12. This slide shows a significant decline in our workforce in the last 5 years. The streamlining process which we implemented has increased the income per position by 20% since 2012, from 886,000 shekels per position in 2012 to over 1 million in 2016. Let's continue to slide number 13. We see that Tier 1 equity continues to grow and amounted to 32.3 billion shekels at the end of March. The Tier 1 capital adequacy ratio is 11.02% in Q1, much higher than the minimum requirement of 10.3%. The total capital ratio is 14.8%, also much above the regulatory target. This allowed us to continue to grow and distribute dividends. In line with the dividend policy that the bank adopted in March 2017, the board approved a dividend of 20% of the first quarter profit. The current dividend stands as 124 million shekels. To summarize, the strong results of the quarter clearly demonstrate the consistent progress in most of the bank's business parameters. We increased our net interest income by 13%. We continue to improve our efficiency ratio. We have selectively grown in our credit portfolio. And we continue to lead the digital banking transformation in Israel. As such, we are getting ready to launch Pepper, the first mobile bank in Israel, soon. I would like to thank you all for being with us this afternoon and would be happy to answer any questions you may have. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is by Margarita Stressels of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation. Apologies if you have mentioned that I joined a couple of minutes later, but I wanted to ask about the dividend policy. Of course, it's very nice to see the first dividend in 6 years, 20% payout, but capital ratio is significantly above regulatory minimum and loan growth, although it's recovering, but still a bit lower than what we could have expected. So I don't know if you can give me a little bit more color on how you see your loan growth versus dividend payout balance going forward, or the plan is to continue
Margarita?
To accumulate capital.
Margarita?
Yes.
Margarita?
Yeah.
The line is very bad.
We
couldn't hear your question at all.
Nothing at all? Is it better now?
It's broke. It keeps breaking off.
There is a big
okay.
Noise.
Okay, sorry.
There's a lot of noise around.
Okay, so basically, I wanted. Can you hear me now? Is it better?
We will try, but it's very hard to hear you.
Okay, so my
can
question was about the
Margarita.
No, unfortunately, I don't have any other means of connection at the moment. So my question was about the balance between the loan growth and the dividend payout going forward. because the capital position allows for either faster loan growth or more dividend payout. So I was wondering how you think about it in the longer term. Where would you want to be on these two factors?
Okay, I will try to answer. Thank you, Margarita, for the question. Our target is to maximize the value for our shareholders. So in this target, we have to balance between the yield that we can achieve to our shareholders through our results and through the dividend policy. At this point, and you can see the results, we think that 20% is a good balance between these two points. But we will consider it in the future, and if we will come to conclusion that for our shareholders it's better to increase the dividend policy, so we'll do it. But we have no limitation as we had in the past. So now the only thing that we are interested in is to maximize the value for our shareholders, and we'll do whatever we need to do about it.
So do you need now additional approval from the regulator, or you can change your dividend policy as you want?
We need the approval of our supervisor, but we talked with him in the past, and the 20% dividend policy is not because we are not able to increase it. We are able to increase it because, as you see, we are much above the regulatory requirement of the adequacy ratio. The reason that it's 20% is just because we believe that at this point this is the best choice for maximize the value to our shareholders. There is no limitation. There is no effective limitation on 20%.
Okay, thank you. And just a very quick follow-up. So basically, this means that probably you expect the loan growth to recover more and to potentially start growing faster as the year progresses. Is it correct assumption?
Well, we hear you very bad, Margarita. But if you ask about growth, because I didn't hear you well, as we said at the end of the year, we have now the capability to grow because we have no equity constraint, and we grew quite well at the first quarter. And my forecast is that the bank will continue to grow, but selective growth, and not just to grow. Selective growth means growth that will, at the end, we will see also at the bottom line of the profit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much, and apologies for the bad line. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Margarita.
The next question is by Michael Klar of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got three questions. Firstly, you mentioned expected profits from Lumi Partners through in the coming quarters. So just wanted to understand, can you give us any indication of their magnitude? And then furthermore, on Lumi Partners, how much capital do they have invested, and how should we think about their returns historically over 3 to 5 years, so we can try and forecast that contribution? And then also on consumer credit, obviously, in the fourth quarter, there were higher levels of provisions there. There's talk from the Bank of Israel, governor yesterday, about worries about consumer credit. So wanting to get your views on whether there's an issue in that segment. Maybe Gil can has some views on that as well. And lastly, can you remind us what your sensitivity is currently to the pension fund liability from higher interest rates? Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll try to answer the three questions, and also Gil will give his point of view. First, about Lumi Partner. Unfortunately, I can't give you the magnitude of the profit that we anticipate to see from Lumi Partner in the coming year, but I can say for sure that every year, and you can see it in the in 2016 and also before 2016, the yield of Leumi Partner is quite high. It's quite high per year yield. And as I said through the presentation, the Leumi Partner profit is not linear throughout the year because it depends on the quarter that they realize their investment. So to sum up this point, we believe that the effect of Leumi Partners on our results will be higher than in this result, which they have almost no effect. And from this reason, we believe that the 8.1% yield, which is only from core business, is a little bit less than what will be in the coming quarters, because in some of these quarters, there will be an income from Leumi Partners. About the third question was about the sensitivity, and then I will come to the credit risk. About the sensitivity, as we publish in the financial statement, 1% change in the interest rate impact the employee liabilities by about before tax by about 2 billion shekels. I mean the accounting equity, because as you know, for the capital equity, it come in eight phases. But if you look just and from the accounting point of view, 1% change before tax impact that liability by about 2 billion shekels before tax. About your third question, about the credit risk, well, in the last few years, there was a big increase in the individual credit in Israel. And because of that, the risk in that credit increased. In Bank Leumi, as I mentioned throughout the presentation, we grew also in individual, but our growth is very selectively. It's selective growth. You can see in the financial statement, if you look, that the provision for individual credit expenses didn't grow in the first quarter. It even declined. So yes, you're right. From my point of view, not just also from my point of view, the risk in individual increased in the last few years, but because we are very prudent in our credit and because we select where to grow. You know, individual credit is not one word. There is a lot of sub-segment in this area. So because we select our growth very, very in very prudent ways, I believe that the risk in our credit didn't grow related to last year.
Omer, can I follow up on that? You talk about segments within consumer credit. Can you give us a bit of color around that? Are you offering loans to customers of other banks? Have you been in the past? What about auto loans? Are they growing as they were in previous years? Could you talk a bit about that selectivity, perhaps?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't elaborate on that because there is no public data about it in the financial statement. I just can say that you can see our pace of growth in credit, and you can see that across the road, there are different banks that grow in different pace. I believe that to growth in double-digit growth is too dangerous in a short period. But as you can imagine, in this segment, there are a lot of categories which you can split and choose where to grow. But I suggest that Gil will elaborate a little bit about it. Gil, please.
Hi, Michael. Gil Bufferman here. A few words about household credit. First of all, household credit has grown in Israel over recent years. Part of it started out initially with mortgage credit, and then we have also the non-mortgage, the retail credit. The numbers for 2016, looking at the entire banking system, not specifically at Leumi, are growth numbers somewhere in the area of about 5-6% in nominal terms. Now, take into account that behind that, we have private consumption that grew by about 4% in previous years. In real terms, last year we had the automobile story, so it grew by 6 years. But all in all, despite that increase in demand for credit and supply of credit, when you look at credit as a percentage of GDP and compare that to other countries in the world, peer countries, OECD countries, you find that the leverage ratios of households in Israel are not very high. For example, if you look at retail credit as a percentage of GDP in Israel, you get about 12-13%, which is pretty much in the middle of the OECD peers. And when you look at mortgage credits, you're talking about probably 30% of GDP, which is probably at the lower third of the peer group. So despite the increase, I do not think that the risk has increased, the increase in the quantities. And another thing to look at in trying to kind of get a feel for have risks increased is just to look at what's going on in the job market. And we know that one of the main factors determining will debt be paid off or not is how good is the job market doing. And the job market is doing fantastic. I mean, when you look at the 25 to 64-year-old age group, which is the age group that does most of the borrowing, the unemployment rate there is below 4%. The participation rate is above 80%. And we're seeing a rising percentage of households with full-time employment and not part-time employment. And we've also been seeing a real-term increase in wages of about 3% per year over the last few years. So all of those things coming from the job market are very strong indicators that say that the households have the ability to continue and service the loan. And I think that the main kind of worries and risks or guesses of risks have come recently mainly because of the increase in the magnitude of credit over recent years. But even though, as I set out earlier on, even though when we take that into account and compare Israel to OECD countries, we're not a highly leveraged country. If anything, we're actually a country with a low level of leverage, and that actually goes across all three main sectors, which is the government sector, the business sector, and the household sector, which has very, very low leverage overall compared to other countries. And of course, add on to that the prudence in the way that Israeli credit is managed. I mean, we have no nonsense when it comes to giving out loans. We don't have anything in the form of what the U.S. had in the previous decade. So I really do not see any reason for worry at the moment. All the indicators seem to be okay, and the only thing that might have kind of led to a little bit of a raising of a yellow flag was the fact that credit has been increasing, but that has to do just with economic growth and private consumption that has been strong, and the ability and the wish of banks and other financial institutes to give credit.
Thanks, that's very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is by Micha Goldberg of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations on a great quarter and a very short to the point presentation. A couple of questions, if I may. First, on balance sheet, I'm trying to understand something. It looks like you had a nice growth in your credit side, but had a substantial decline in overall assets. And I see cash dropped by like 6 billion shekels just compared to last quarter, as the deposits. Can you explain what's going on and where is cash going, and is this a trend that we should be worrying about in the future, or is this something that is supporting your risk-weighted asset growth? Thanks.
Thanks, Micha. The main reason for the decrease in the deposits and in the cash is the exchange rate. There was a material appreciation of the shekel during this period, which affected a decrease in the deposit. And as you can see in the financial statement, we wrote that if we neutralize that, there is no decrease, and also it affects the decrease in the cash and equivalent. So this is the main reason for these numbers.
Your cash is primarily in dollars, 6 billion shekels in dollar terms.
Affected all in all, this is the main effect. There is not something else. Nothing happened.
Okay, thank you very much. So then I move to the second question, which I thought was related, but I guess it's not. It shows that your risk-weighted assets grew around 2.5% compared to the end of the year. Credit grew by only 1%, and yes, I saw market risk went up substantially, but it's a very modest part of the overall risk-weighted assets. And I was wondering, is this a trend that we'll be looking forward in the next couple of quarters? And two, what's the source of this sizable growth in your risk-weighted assets?
Sorry, I didn't hear you well. Can you repeat your question, please?
Of course I can. I said, based on your numbers, it looks like risk-weighted assets grew by 2.5% in the quarter, yet credit grew by only 1%. Now, I noticed market risk increased substantially, but it's a very small part of it. So my questions are twofold. A, can you explain why risk-weighted assets grew so substantially despite credit only growing by 1%? And mostly being in consumer credit, which is not high risk weighted. And secondly, if this is the case for future quarters as well.
Well, part of the answer is in your question. Part of the increase in the risk weighted asset was because of the market risk. But the other part is that when we increased our credit, we also increased our off balance sheet activities. And this is also have a weight in a risk-weighted asset. So when you look at it, you have to look all together. And all together, I can give you the number later on, it's very reasonable.
Okay, just be clear, even without the credit risk, it still grew by like 2%. Is that what we'll be looking forward to the next quarter too?
Well, I don't want to go into specific numbers, but I believe that the growth in the credit and the growth in the non-balance sheet items will continue in the next quarter, and also will, and as a result, there will be also an increase in the risk-weighted asset because we have the ability to do it because of the our Tier 1 adequacy ratio.
Okay, thank you very much.
In the last part, there was a new regulation for our supervisor, which caused us an increase of about 0.6 billion shekels on that quarter.
And that's a one-time thing?
Yeah, that's one time.
That's a one-time increase.
Okay, I understand. Okay, thank you very much. Another question, if I may. Credit costs were 15 bips in this quarter, and it's definitely reasonable when you look in over historical perspective. I'm just wondering, when you look at the last couple of years, the numbers were much lower. When you look forward to the next couple of quarters and years, is this the kind of numbers that we should be looking forward to in the next couple of quarters, or should it go up? Or, I mean, how does it look at as 15 bips compared to the negative you had in 2016 and pretty much zero in the year before that?
Yeah, first of all, this number is a little bit, you know, because it's the first quarter and you have to put it the double four. So when you look at it on the first quarter compared to the corresponding period, in the first quarter it became more sharp than it will be throughout all the year. So I believe that in a yearly basis it won't be so much increase, but there is increase because the spread increased in the market in most of the segment. You know what was interesting that even in the business segment, which there is a There is a high competition. Also in this segment, there is increase in the spread. But on yearly basis, I don't anticipate to such a big increase.
Okay, I just to confirm, you were talking about margins, right? Not about credit costs.
No, I talked about. I thought you asked me about the credit, the margin. About the credit expenses, we are at 0.15%. The credit expenses is linked. It's linked very strong to the interest rate. To the interest rate level. As long as the interest rate level will continue to be very low, I don't anticipate that the expenses for credit loss will increase. It will increase when the interest rate will go up. But when the interest rate will go up, there will also be effect on the income. So as long as the interest rate will continue to be at a low rate, I don't anticipate that the figure will be much higher than 0.15%. Maybe they will be lower because, as you saw in the financial statement, there was relatively low collection in this quarter, and relative to the previous quarter, and maybe in the future we will collect more than we collect in this quarter.
Okay. You also mentioned in one of the previous answers to the questions, you mentioned that you might reconsider your dividend payout policy. Is that something that can happen throughout the year, or is that something that convenes once a year? I mean, what's the frequency that can then happen? Is that, you know, do we have to wait till the year end for that to happen, or how does that work?
I don't believe that it will happen in the next quarter, but we consider it all the time. And as I said before, our only target is to maximize the value for our shareholders. And if we will come to conclusion that to maximize their value is better for them, that we increase our dividend policy, so we will do it. Because contrast to the past, we have now the ability to do it. But at this stage, we believe that it's better for them that we will share with them 20%, and put the other part in increasing our credit portfolio.
Okay, thank you very much. I have an economic question. If I could maybe ask Gil, you know, growth in the first quarter was exceptionally low. Private consumption went down, and I'm just wondering, you know, what are you looking forward in the next couple of quarters? I mean, is this going to hurt the banking sector if growth is coming down? And secondly, I mean, inflation has picked up a little bit, but it still seems that the shekel is exceptionally strong. So do you have any guidance on where you think rates will actually go up in Israel? Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Micha. Gil here. Yes, the first quarter GDP was low. It was expected to be low because there was a big surge in growth driven by durable goods consumption during 2016, especially the fourth quarter of 2016, and that was just because of the timing of changes in import tax laws on automobiles, and it was quite clear that once the calendar year turns and we're into 2017, there would be a drop. And when we try to correct for that event and kind of look through it, it looks, at least looking at the Central Bureau of Statistics numbers, that we're still somewhere in the area of about 3.3% growth for the first quarter. All in all, looking at 2017, we have GDP growth in real terms 3.2%. It's lower than 4% that we had last year. But last year we had a lot of one-offs. It wasn't only the private consumption story. It was also Intel doing most of its investments in the expansion of the Kiryat-Gat site happening last year. And with them only returning to full capacity as far as exports, probably only in early 2018, so that gives us a little bit of a difference. Other items that are kind of in growing at the same time is the ongoing expansion of residential construction. So all in all, we have slightly lower growth, but 3.2% is nice. It's positive per capita. It's unemployment of about 4.4% on average. And I don't think that the first quarter drop is something to really pay too much attention to. Same thing I think holds for the United States that also had a first quarter that was quite weak. It tends to be the case in most places in the world that first quarter is quite weak for various reasons. And in this case, there was a very specific story in Israel. When we take it to inflation, the outlook for rates and the shekel, inflation this year is expected to kind of very slowly creep up to maybe 1%. In previous years, we had 3 years running of negative inflation, but we are getting back to positive inflation, low inflation, but positive inflation. The main item or the main items contributing to the increase in prices, the main item, first of all, the largest one of all, is the housing item, which is based on rental prices. And also we've seen an increase in fruit and vegetable prices. So all in all, for the year, I would expect inflation rising to almost 1%, which means that in 2017, inflation is not yet back in the price stability target, which means that the precondition for rate increases here in Israel is not likely to be met in 2017. Maybe in 2018, if inflation, as expected, does continue to rise slowly a little bit above 1%, then maybe somewhere mid-2018, we could see the first move by the Bank of Israel. All in all, when looking at the averages of the years, for 2017, we have the Bank of Israel rate on average at about 0.1, and for 2018, maybe 0.4, maybe a bit less than that. I'd say probably about a quarter of a percent higher than 2017 on average. The shekel is likely to remain relatively strong. We have a lot of strong fundamentals. A lot of them are not interest rate sensitive. For example, foreign direct investment, where we have purchases of high-tech companies and non-high-tech companies by foreign companies. That means money is flowing into Israel. We also have a current account surplus. For example, natural gas, which is replacing imports of petroleum. By 2020, we're likely to have Leviathan also coming online and replacing more imports of gas. And all of those things are putting a lot of pressure for appreciation on the shekel, and that's another reason why the Bank of Israel is not expected to be in a very big hurry to raise interest rates, and they're likely to allow a substantial differential to open between the Fed funds rate and the Bank of Israel's rate. And I think it will take a very sizable differential to get any type of a move in the shekel. And even then, it might be a short-term move. Maybe I'll take this kind of a one step further and try to link it in to what all of this means for banking. If we're talking about GDP growth of about 3.2%, and just looking at the entire banking system, and not specifically at Bank Leumi, I would expect banking credit, bank system credit, to grow in nominal terms by about 3% or so. Do take into account that we also have the non-banking financial sector, which is also giving credit. A lot of the credit is going to the business sector, so that's kind of taking part of the market share. But this is an environment for ongoing credit growth, not very rapid growth, and probably not across all segments of business. But there is room for growth, probably especially in relation to the household sector, either retail credit or mortgage credit, which is likely to continue to grow. And also probably the middle market as well is probably going to see ongoing growth of credit with this type of a macroeconomic environment. So that's about it. I mean, the macro and how it ties into the banking system.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for a very clear and strong presentation. Thank you.
The next question is by Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the question. Most of the questions have been answered, so just a quick one on the salaries. You talked about the decrease in 4.3% in core salaries expense. So does that reflect, you know, the decrease in the number of employees? And similarly, can we expect the same pace of core salary decrease for the coming quarters?
Hi, Tavi. Yes, because 700 employees left us at the end of 2016, so the decrease that you have seen in the first quarter will continue to the next year. And Yeah, that's for that. The decrease in the salary will increase. It will continue, sorry. And also, as I mentioned through the presentation, we still have almost 65 efficiency ratio, which is quite high. And we are considering different measures how to improve it more than what we did till now.
Okay. And lastly, last quarter, your CEO talked about the launch of Pepper. And I was wondering if you guys are seeing any traction, in the quarter that followed the announcement, or is it still too soon to talk about that?
It's still too soon. We are now getting ready, as you said, to launch Pepper in the coming months. And after it will be in the air, we will start to elaborate on that.
Okay, thank you.
Operator?
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Lumi's first quarter 2017 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.